Welcome to UHN's Seeds of Science podcast, a show by UHN trainees showcasing how today's junior researchers are growing in their scientific fields. Over this podcast series, you will hear from a wide range of UHN masters, PhD, and postdoctoral trainees across the different UHN research sites. My name is Emily. I'm your host for this week's episode. Today, I talk to Christina Lam, a fourth-year PhD student in Dr. Stephen Gervais' lab at the Toronto General Hospital Research Institute. Christina is a first-generation university student who faced significant challenges during her graduate studies after a car accident in 2019. Despite the obstacles and with the support of her supervisor and her course coordinators, Christina has continued to progress in her immunology-based research and hopes to improve long-term transplant tolerance in patients following solid organ transplantation. Throughout graduate school, Christina has developed remarkable strength and self-compassion and now has important advice that she wishes to share to graduate students about navigating the highs and lows of research. I hope you all enjoy hearing about Christina's inspiring journey of personal growth and the exciting progress that's being made in the field of solid organ transplantation. Okay, thank you so much to Christina for coming and joining us on the Seeds of Science podcast today.
Thanks, Emily. Thank you so much for having me.
So just to get started, could you just give us a little bit of an introduction into what stage of research you're in and what lab you're currently training in?
So I am currently a PhD candidate at the University of Toronto, Faculty of Medicine. I am in my fourth year of graduate school. I work under the supervision of Dr. Stephen Gervais, and our lab is part of the Lanner Thoracic Surgical Research at UHN. My research is in solid organ transplantation. I'm an immunologist by training. So my research focuses on how we can improve tolerance in patients after they had received a transplant, because rejection is a really big problem in many patients.
Fantastic. That's a really great area of research to be working in. Can you tell us how you got into this field of research in the first place?
So at the end of my undergrad, like a lot of people who were in medical science, I thought I wanted to go to med school, but I was lacking research experience. So I decided to apply for a master. And I wasn't specifically looking to do transplant, but I was always fascinated by immunology, which is why I decided to apply to Dr. Stephen Gervais' lab. And thankfully, things worked out. He's really great. We work well together. I ended up really liking my project and my research, so I decided to transfer into the PhD stream.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's funny. I know quite a few people who think they want to go into medicine, but then they do a little bit of research and they find that they actually really enjoy it and never really end up quite going back to doing medicine, which is what they set out to do in the first place.
I think that's such a misconception among undergraduate students. My initial experience with research wasn't very good, and I just thought, okay, this is not for me. But I think a lot of people just need to find the research that gets them excited.
Yeah, I think that's excellent advice. And so you mentioned that you work in the field of organ transplantation and rejection. And so I just wondered if you could give a bit of background as to why organ rejection is such a big problem for so many patients.
So the field of solid organ transplantation started in the 60s. That was when the first kidney transplant in human happened. And then we had the discovery of immunosuppressants. So that really transformed the field. The short-term survival of solid organ transplantation improved significantly when you give patients immunosuppressants.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, majority of these patients, they end up rejecting their graft in the long term. And it is due to two factors. The first one is a process called chronic graft rejection, where the patient's own immune response sees the new organ as foreign and they attack the new organ. And over time, you get an accumulation of fibrosis. And then the second factor is actually the immunosuppressant themselves. So they suppress the immune system, but physicians always have to balance, because when you put these patients on these drugs, they become very immunocompromised. So you have to balance the regimen in a way so that they don't reject the organs, but also if they don't become so immunocompromised that they get an infection because their body just are not able to fight off those pathogens the way that a normal person can. So the main focus of solid organ transplant is finding novel agents who can induce long-term tolerance and also have minimal side effects. So I'm an immunologist by training, And our lab is interested in a cell type called regulatory T cells. So normally these cells play a really important role in maintaining immune homeostasis. If there's a disruption in their function, people end up getting autoimmune diseases or they get a very overblown immune response after an infection. So we're interested in the biology and the behavior of these cells and how they develop. And the ideal situation is we can engineer regulatory T cells and then use them in patients to induce tolerance that is more lasting than what we are currently offering to patients.
And so do you have any take-home messages from your research so far?
Right in the middle of my PhD, so I don't have anything conclusive to tell you. Other than that, I really want to emphasize that everyone should be opting into the organ transplant program of OHIP.
Is that something that you opt into here, or is it an opt-out system here?
It's an opt-in system, unfortunately, okay. And we're very short on organs. There's simply not enough graft to go around for everyone, and people live very long now. So a lot of times, you will see a patient who had to go back and get a second or even third transplant. You know, so by finding the ways to improve long-term graft tolerance, it doesn't affect just the patient individually, it also improves the system too, and then we can have more organs to go around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really important point. We'll include a link in the show notes where listeners can see more information about opting into the organ donor program in Ontario. So Christina, what excites you the most about the future of this field of research?
I love being in transplant because actually one of the more fast-paced field of science that you can be in. You know, the bend to bedside timeline usually around 5 to 6 years, which is incredibly fast. And with the new technology like CRISPR, we can really personalize the different cell types and tailor them to each patient.
Yeah, wow.
Which I think is just incredible. I feel like this is the closest we get to like sci-fi.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just very motivating to see the fruition of your hard work in such a short period of time. You know, basic science research is incredibly important. A lot of the clinical treatments that we give to patients, we don't fully understand the mechanism behind them. But, you know, in the meantime, like, we do have to give patients something. And just knowing that you can have such profound impact on somebody's life is very rewarding.
So, Christina, could you tell us a little about your experiences in undergrad and also in grad school?
So, I was at the University of Western Ontario for my undergrad. And my family immigrated to Canada when I was 12 from Vietnam. And I was the very first one in our family to attend post-secondary education and also the first one to attend higher education by going to graduate school. So that was a very interesting experience, shall we say. You know, it was very hard for me when I was an undergrad to navigate the academic system because I just didn't have anybody else to ask these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I also didn't know that you were allowed to ask those questions. I just assumed that it was my fault that I didn't know. I think we just need to be more open about it because I think a lot of students just like look around, they see their peers and it looks like everyone knows what they're doing. They're just like, I don't want to admit that I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And did you find anyone throughout your undergraduate degree, did you find anyone, any peers or any other mentors that you found that you could go to ask these sorts of questions and seek guidance from? Or did you find during your undergraduate that you largely navigated this on your own?
I think it was mostly on my own. It wasn't until the very end of my undergrad I realized how much resources that were available on campus for people like me. So when I entered graduate school at U of T, I felt much more equipped to navigate this academic landscape compared to when I was 18.
Mm-hmm. And so what about during your graduate school experience so far? You said you're in your fourth year. How has the experience been for you?
My story is a little bit different than most graduate students. So in December of 2019, it was a little bit over a year after I entered graduate school, I was actually hit by a car. And there was, you know what happened next, the pandemic happened.
Oh my gosh.
This deeply affected my graduate studies and, you know, the rehabilitation process and trying to reintegrate myself back into society. That was very challenging. And having to do graduate school on top in the middle of the pandemic, it was difficult.
That sounds like it would have been incredibly difficult. I know that everyone found the pandemic a huge challenge, but on top of this, you were also going through this incredibly traumatic life experience. And even just from a physical standpoint, I know that you do a lot of lab work. So even just from a physical standpoint, how did you actually manage to continue with your research?
So if I can go back in time, I would have taken the whole year off. I tried to go back 8 or 9 months after my car accident, which is honestly way too early. My body was not ready. And I also just didn't realize how much physical labor we actually do as scientists. I had multiple fractures in my pelvis, and like just being on my feet for a long time and really, really aggravated those injuries and my knees. Like I would have a long day at the lab, go home and like ice my knees. And it was just so incredibly frustrating because up until that point, I was a fully able person. And then to have that taken away all of a sudden was very confronting. I was also very stressed out because I thought I lost all these time, like I need to make up for all the lost time. And I end up in this very toxic cycle of me trying to do experiment, getting a lot of pain, and then getting into very negative headspace because I feel like I wasn't being productive enough, and then trying to do experiments again and then, you know, really like aggravating my injuries.
And how were your supervisors through this process and the university? Did everyone support you?
Yes, I was very fortunate. My supervisor, Dr. Stephen Jouvet, was incredibly supportive and kind throughout the entire process. And he was very patient during my recovery. The coordinators from my department, Institute of Medical Science, were also very supportive as well. They, once they found out what happened to me, they asked to meet with me and told me that I can take a break. So I ended up taking the summer of 2021 off to really focus on my rehab and my mental health. That has been the best decision I made.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm glad to hear you took that time for yourself. And so, Christina, are you wanting to continue with research after you finish your PhD studies? Are you wanting to stay in academia? Or are you wanting to do something different?
I definitely want to stay in research. I love immunology. I love lab work. But I don't think academia is for me. Personally, I like to stay in the translational realm. But, you know, my experience as a patient after my car accident had also profoundly shaped my understanding of the healthcare system. And I just realized that there's a lot that we can improve on. You know, the way we conduct research, how we deliver healthcare, still targets a very specific population. They have access to resources that many people who live in this country do not have. Mm-hmm. And the quality of care suffered greatly because of the oversight. So, you know, besides research, I also hope that in the future I can be involved in initiative and use my experiences to influence and improve healthcare for patients. My experience as a patient made me more conscientious of my job as a scientist. You know, I realized that whatever we do in the lab, one day it will affect real people. And that really motivated me to do the best science that I can on a day-to-day basis.
And so do you have any advice for students who are doing a PhD or even students who are considering doing a master's or PhD?
I can't emphasize how important it is to have a strong support system when you're going through graduate school, car accident or not. You just really need external reminder that you're doing okay. I have friends within and also outside of my own programs, and they have similar ethnic or socioeconomic background as me. Some of them are also immigrants themselves. So they have been instrumental during my recovery as well. You know, those friends, they really reminded me of my own goodness and value when I just could not see any of those things in myself. Also, I think you really need to be okay with being wrong. I entered graduate school, like a lot of undergraduate students, with perfectionistic tendencies. And that sort of coping mechanism works well in undergrad, because you can just study, write a test, and then you get your grade. It doesn't really work like that in graduate school. You're going to be wrong many times. And that perfectionism can really get in the way of your progress in graduate school. And also, just really separate your work from who you are as a person. I think people can help but wonder, like, is it me that's the problem? Like, is it me that, like, hindering the research? Like, am I just not a good enough scientist? And it's not true. Research is difficult.
That imposter syndrome.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, you're just human beings with your own limitations, and you're trying your best. And that's what all the other graduate students are doing too. I just wish people practice more self-compassion for themselves. I found that has been really instrumental in managing my imposter syndrome. I found that for a period of time, I was just so paralyzed by this fear of being wrong. Like, I just couldn't make myself do experiment or apply for grant because I was just so afraid of rejection, of failures. But over time, I learned to be nicer and more encouraging to myself. And that's actually a much more productive and healthier response, because you don't get carried away, you're able to see what the problem is, and you're not so afraid to try again.
Okay, so shifting gears a little bit now, I'm interested in your life outside of research as well. Do you have any hobbies, or what are you interested in outside of research?
So outside of research, I really enjoy science communication. I think as scientists who are funded by the public's dollar, we have responsibility to translate our findings to the general public, because they're the ones that are going to be impacted by what we do. So I write for The Varsity, which is the University of Toronto student newspaper.
Fantastic.
Specifically the science section, where we talk about all the exciting research that is being done by U of T scientists and in an accessible manner.
That's awesome. And so is this newspaper something that's freely available to the public, or who's it geared towards? Is it geared towards students?
It gears specifically for undergraduate students.
Okay, very good. And so I believe you're also involved in a great initiative called Research to Reality. Do you mind telling us a little about that?
For sure. So Research to Reality was founded by a professor at U of T. Her name is Molly Shortgett. So she is a chemist, very passionate about science communication. So I actually run the Instagram account. So this is where we not just talk about research, but also other fun aspects of science. You know, we post things like play art.
Oh, cool.
Or, you know, very pretty immunofluorescent photos. Nice. We also feature a lot of women in STEM.
Fantastic.
So the ultimate goal is really just to bridge the gap between the general public and scientists, and maybe to inspire more people to enter science.
That's awesome. And so what's your favorite part about being involved in the Instagram page for Research to Reality?
I just think it lets me zoom out of my own work. You get so bogged up in the little detail when you're a graduate student. And it's just so nice to step back and see the bigger picture and realize that, like, yes, what you do matters. And being able to communicate that to people who are not in science is very special. We're actually quite active on social media. We have Twitter, we also have Facebook. We also have our own website where you can actually sign up for a newsletter. And whenever we have a new article come out, you get notification.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we'll put the link up in the show notes so that people can know where to sign up for these emails. Okay, Christina, well, it's been awesome talking to you. So before we start to wrap up the episode, I wonder if you could tell us if you have any fun facts about yourself.
Yeah, so I do have a confession to make. I'm actually an avid reader of romance fiction.
Wow, nice.
It got me through many, you know, many days of quarantine and, like, many long days of lab. It's so nice to just, like, be engaged in, like, a completely different world.
Totally. And so do you have any recommendations? If someone wanted to read a good romance novel, what would you recommend to them? Do you have a favorite author?
Oh, it's so hard. Like, the genre, like, it's actually very diverse. There's something for everybody, too. I don't think people realize it. And the authors are really trying to be more mindful in portraying healthier relationship dynamics. So there's a lot of great books going around. It's just such a nice break not having to read academic papers.
Yeah, I have to say, I don't think I have read a novel in years, since probably before I started my honours year, which was 2015. So that's going on 7 or 8 years ago now. It's funny, as soon as I started doing research, I found it so hard to read anything other than research papers.
Mm-hmm. That was the same thing for me. I really resumed my love for reading after the pandemic.
Okay, Christina, we've got a series of rapid-fire questions for you. You haven't seen these, so the idea is that I'll give you two options and you just have to pick one, okay? So just pick the first thing that comes to mind. Don't think too hard on it, all right?
All right.
Okay, pancakes or waffles?
Pancake.
Salty or sweet?
Sweet.
Invisibility or super strength?
Invisibility.
Cake or pie?
Cake.
Polka dots or stripes?
Polka dots.
Ooh, very nice. And finally, backcountry camping adventure or tropical island holiday?
Oh, that's so hard. Tropical, I would say.
Ooh, everyone picks the tropical island holiday. It's funny, I wonder if it's because all of us researchers really just need a break and want to sit on the beach for a couple of days. Alrighty, Christina. Well, it's been so nice getting to chat with you today and getting to hear about your work, your research, your unique story, and your life outside of research. I'm sure that there are going to be a lot of grad students and postdocs as well who are going to take away a lot from hearing your advice and your just general perspective on the grad school experience. So we really do appreciate you coming in and taking the time today to speak with us on Seeds of Science.
Thank you so much, Emily. It has been a real pleasure. Thanks again for having me.
Thank you everyone for listening. I hope you all enjoyed getting to know about Christina and her research journey so far. If you'd like to reach out to her, her UHN email is posted in the episode description available at the ORT website. And there you'll also find links to the Ontario Organ Donor Registry, plus the University of Toronto Varsity newspaper and Research to Reality. And if you would like to be featured on the Seeds of Science podcast, please reach out to us. We hope you enjoy getting to know UHN trainees throughout this podcast series. Stay tuned for the next episode in 2 weeks' time. Seeds of Science is proudly supported by the UHN Office of Research Trainees, with special thanks to Drs. Amanda Verry and Linda Penn. Hosting and recording by Dr. Emily Mills and Rima El-Sayed. Editing by Emily Mills, Rima El-Sayed, and with assistance from Ariana Besick. Outreach management by Dr. Olivia McHale and Ariana Besick.